Welcome to those who have joined us today. Today we begin the 10th story of Rabbi Nachman's 13 stories. This story is entitled Maisa mi Berger Vooni, the story of the burger and the pauper. A burger is actually a businessman. It's someone who's the upper end of middle class, someone who is not a member of the aristocratic class, not royalty, at the same time, not a member of the peasant class. This is what was known in Russia at the time as bourgeois. Now, Rabbi Nachman begins that once there was a burger, a businessman, who was very wealthy. He had tremendous merchandise, and his financial papers were all over the world, and he had everything that he wanted. In the same building that he lived in, below him, lived a poor man who was extremely poor, and his situation was exactly the opposite of the burger. Both of them, unfortunately, did not have any children. One time, the burger had a dream, and in his dream, he saw people coming into his home and making packages, packing up his entire house, all his furniture, everything. So he asked them, "What are you doing?" They said, "We're packing everything up to take it to your neighbor, the pauper." So he got very angry watching this, witnessing them literally taking his entire house, all of his belongings, and boxing it and carrying out the boxes. However, to express his anger at them, he couldn't, because they were a whole group of people. He knew he couldn't have a confrontation with all of them. And they just kept working, kept boxing up everything, all of his merchandise, all of his wealth, all of his furnishings, and taking everything out, supposedly bringing it downstairs to this very poor man. And when they got finished, his house was totally bare, empty. All that was in it was the four walls. The burger was very, very angry, and then he woke up and realized that it was a dream. And even though he realized that this was just a dream, and that all his possessions were still in the house, still, his heart was pounding. He was petrified. And at the same time, very, very angry about the dream, upset at the injustice of all of this, everything being taken away from him in this manner, and he couldn't get this dream out of his mind. Now, this poor man and his wife, the burger always used to look in on them and look out for them, always used to try to help them in different ways. And now that after this dream, he studied them even more carefully, looking to see what they need. However, whenever they would come into his house, the poor man or the poor man's wife, suddenly his face would change, and they saw that the burger looked very frightened, and they had no idea that it was because of his dream that he was remembering. They used to visit him regularly, and they'd come and go. You know, they felt comfortable coming into his home. One day, the wife of the poor man came to the burger, and he gave her what he gave her, as was normal. And once again, she took a look at his face and saw fear. She saw a look of confusion. So she asked him, "Please, I beg your forgiveness respectfully. Could you please tell me what is this all about? That every time we come to you, since this day a while ago, your face changes completely. A horrifying look comes over your face, and it's, I have no idea what it's about. So he went ahead and revealed to her his entire dream, this dream that he had. And now from the time that he had this dream, his heart is filled with fear and trepidation. She asked him, Can you tell me whether this dream took place on such and such a night? He said, as a matter of fact, yes. Why? Why are you asking me? So she said, I'll tell you why. Because on that same night, I had a dream, and in my dream, I was very wealthy, and people were coming into my home, and they were also packing up the things in my house. And I asked them, where are you taking everything? So they said to me that they're taking it upstairs to the pauper, to the poor man that lives upstairs, meaning the burger, whom they, in her dream, they called him the pauper. So she said to him, so why are you giving any credence to the dream? Why are you giving any significance to the dream? Look at this, I also had a dream. And now that he heard her dream, he became even more frightened and petrified about having heard her dream, because now it appeared to him as if there was a connection between the two, and that all of his wealth and all of his possessions were going to be transferred to the poor couple, and all of their poverty was going to be transferred to him, was going to be given over to him. And he was very, very frightened about this. One day, the wife of the burger decided to go out for a trip in her covered wagon, in her coach, and she took some of her lady friends with her. And she also took the wife of this poor man with her on the trip. And they're riding in this beautiful wagon. And while they're riding on the road, they see a group of people, which was actually a general of the army, and the soldiers that were accompanying him. They see this whole group coming towards them. They're traveling in opposite directions on the same road. So sure enough, the wagon driver of the wagon that's carrying these women pulled off to the side of the road respectfully to allow this general and his whole group of soldiers and everything the right of way, you know, to go by. Sure enough, the soldiers passed by and they saw that in the wagon is a group of women. Sure enough, the general gave a command to one of his soldiers to take one of the women from the group that had gone on this trip. They went and they took the wife of the poor man and they grabbed her and put her into the wagon of the general. And they rode off. Now, obviously, there was nothing to do at this point. They rode off. There was nobody to chase after. There was nothing, especially a general and his company of soldiers. No one was going to challenge them or anything. So sure enough, the general took her and rode off with her to his city. She, Rabbi Nachman tells us, was a great Yirei Shamayim. She had tremendous loyalty and respect for Hashem, and she refused to submit to the general in any way whatsoever. She cried a tremendous amount, and he tried to speak to her, to coerce her. He had other people speak to her, trying to convince her to submit to the general. However, she had extraordinary loyalty to Hashem, Yira Shemayim, and therefore she wouldn't budge. The group of women ended up returning home from their trip, and suddenly the word went out that the wife of the poor man was taken. captive. So her husband, this pauper, mourned her, and he cried bitterly over his wife all the time, constantly. One day, the burgher who lived above him passed by the door of the poor man, and he heard tremendous crying and wailing. So he went into the poor man, and he said to him, "Why are you so hysterical? What are you crying so much about?" So the poor man said to him, "What do you mean? I shouldn't cry? What else do I have? Some people, if something's taken away from them, at least they still have their wealth, they have their children. I have nothing. I'm a pauper, a complete pauper, and now my wife was taken. What do I have? What do I have in life?" And he said this in such a heart-rending way that the burgher suddenly felt a deep pang of pity on this poor man, and he felt a tremendous, tremendous desire to help him, because he saw the extreme bitterness that this poor man was feeling. So the burgher went ahead and did something crazy, ridiculous, absurd. What did he do? He investigated, and he found out exactly where the general lives, what city he lives in, and he immediately took off, rushing to travel to the house, to the place where this general lived. And then he went ahead and did something ridiculous, crazy. He went ahead and ran into the house of the general, and there's guards there and soldiers out, and they saw him, and they saw what looked to them like this complete crazy man go racing past them, to the point where they were just so awestruck by it that they couldn't do anything. He went right past all the soldiers, all the guards, and nobody knew, how did he get here? Each set of guards, you know, there's different sets of guards, each one looking like, where did this guy come from? Nothing, and he's just racing past them, till he got into the house of the general, till he got into the room where this wife of the poor man was sleeping, and he went over and he woke her up and he said to her, "Come." She looked at him and she was frightened, and he said to her, "Immediately, come with me right now." Sure enough, she went with him, and once again, he went right past everybody, the soldiers, the guards, right past everybody, till they got out of the house, out of the yard. And then he suddenly got frightened, because he realized what he had done. And he understood that there's going to be some commotion now. There's going to be some hullabaloo about this. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. Suddenly the alarm went out, the general found out what had happened, and everything broke loose. So now, the burgher and the wife of the poor man that are with him, they're on the run, and he went to hide in a large ditch, a boyer, that had rainwater in it, that was full of rainwater. And they thought they'd hide out there until the commotion would die down. So sure enough, the burgher and this poor man's wife remained in this boyer, in this ditch, for 2 days. And the woman, the poor man's wife, saw the extraordinary mesirat nefesh, how this burgher had actually risked his life to help her escape, and the suffering that he was going through on her behalf, how the danger that they were in right now, and they're in this ditch full of water. Upon realizing all of this, she swore by the name of Hashem that anything good that she'll be blessed with in her life, any good fortune that Hashem is going to send her way, any success, which will be hers completely, she will not withhold it from this burger. She'll share it with him, she'll give it to him, whatever success, whatever good fortune she'll have in her life. And if he'll want to take it completely, and she'll remain without anything at all, it's perfectly fine. She's prepared to give him anything good, any success she'll experience at any time in life, she's prepared to give him away and go back to being the same poor woman. Now the question is, she swore she wanted to have witnesses to this. Where do you get witnesses? They're hiding out. So she decided to take the boyer, the ditch itself, as a witness. And in her swearing, she proclaimed, I swear to Hashem, this shvur that she made, and she said, and I take this ditch as my witness. 2 days passed, and they left this boyer, they left this ditch, and they went further. And he traveled with her further and further, and still he realized that they were in danger. That even where they were now, the general's men would be searching for them. So sure enough, he went and hid himself with her in a mikveh, a second body of water. And once again, while they were in there, she was thinking and pondering that this incredible mesirat nefesh, the unbelievable dedication, how this burger put his life on the line for her, and the suffering that he's going through because of her, and she swore once again the same shvua, saying that any good fortune, any luck, any success that she'll have in her life, she's prepared to share it or give it away completely to the burger. And once again, she took the mikveh as her witness. They remained there for approximately 2 days, and then they went out and went further. And this scenario repeated itself each time that they hid themselves, and they ended up hiding in a total of 7 different places of water. And Rabbi Nachman tells us that the Hebrew terms that are used to refer to these 7 types of gatherings of water. The first was a boyer, the second was a mikveh, the third was an agam, what we would call like a swamp, the fourth was a mayan, a spring of some sort, a nachal, a stream, a nohor, a river, and finally a yam, a larger river, something that resembled like the sea. And in each one of these bodies of water that she went to, each time she would dwell on this point, on the incredible mesirat nefesh that this burger had shown, and the suffering that he was going through, and each time she swore again. And she took that body of water as her witness. Until finally, they got to the sea. When they got to the sea, this burger, who was a businessman, who was obviously used to traveling the seas, and he knew his way around, sure enough, he set out to get back to their city, their country, their city, until eventually they succeeded. And he returned this woman to her husband, to the pauper. There was tremendous rejoicing. And now Rabbi Nachman tells us that the burger, as a reward for him performing this incredible act of Mesirat Nefesh and going through so much to help a Jewish woman, and then passing the test of spending so much time alone with this woman and not touching her in any way, Hashem blessed him that year with a child, a son. she, the wife of the poor man, also, as a reward for her passing the test, both with the general and also with this burgher, all the time that they spent alone together, she was also blessed with a child, a little girl. And this little girl had unbelievable beauty, extraordinary beauty that was not completely inhuman. No one had ever seen a human being that possessed such extraordinary beauty. It's something that's just not seen among people. And the people all said, imagine if this baby grows up, what kind of extraordinary girl she's going to be. Because people were fearful that a child that possessed such unique, extraordinary beauty, who knows if it's going to live a normal life. And people would come from all over to look at this child. And when they would look, they would be awestruck at the extraordinary beauty that she possessed. And they would give her gifts. People couldn't help themselves. They just wanted to give every kind of gift in the world to this beautiful child out of love for her. And as a result of all of these gifts that all of these people were bringing, her parents, the pauper, started becoming wealthier and wealthier. Now, the burgher, the neighbor that lived upstairs, this wealthy businessman, the thought occurred to him of making a match with this poor man, that the burgher's son and the poor man's daughter, imagine that would be fantastic, especially with her extraordinary beauty that's such so unusual. And then he thought to himself, who knows? Maybe this is the meaning of that dream that I had a long time ago, whereby they were taking everything of mine to the poor man, and everything of the poor man's was being brought to me, meaning that there's going to be a match between our two families, and they're going to mix together. Everything of mine and everything of his is going to merge together and combine in this new couple. One day, the poor man's wife was visiting the burgher again, and the burgher told her what was on his mind, that he'd like to suggest a match between his son and her daughter, and maybe this will be the fulfillment of the dream that he had that time. She said to him, you should know that I thought of the same thing. This idea occurred to me also. However, I didn't have the gall to suggest that our family should be worthy of merging with yours. However, if you're expressing your willingness for this, for sure, I'm ready. I'm more than happy about this, and I will not withhold anything from you. Especially since I swore that all the good and all the success that Hashem will give me in life, I will not withhold from you. Rabbi Nachman tells us that the son of the burgher and the daughter of this poor couple, they had studied in the same school, languages and other studies, and the daughter of the poor couple, people would come to see her, as we said earlier, and they would bring gifts for her to the point where her father became very wealthy. And not just regular people, but ministers would come to see her. And she found favor by all of them. Her beauty was something unique in the world. No one had ever seen something like it before. And when these ministers saw her extraordinary beauty, they also came upon this idea, imagine if my son could marry this girl. And each one of these ministers who had a son, this was the only thing on his mind, you know, that imagine if my son could marry this girl. However, it wouldn't be appropriate for a minister of government to have his son marry a poor man's daughter. Therefore, they realize that they have to change that. They have to get him up in the stratospheres. And they did this by providing him with these gifts, and they worked at getting him a job, getting him placed in the king's company. Sure enough, at first he started off as a very lowly type of officer, and gradually he rose in the ranks, because again, these ministers and these officers all pushed for him on his behalf to move him up to the point where he became a general. And all of these ministers are wanting to make a match with their sons and his daughter. And on the other hand, there was this problem, this obstacle with the Berger, this wealthy businessman's son. The fact that they had already discussed a shidduch with his son. Now this poor man who had become a general started to experience major success. Battle after battle that he undertook, he was successful. And each time he was elevated higher and higher in the ranks, to the point where eventually the king died and all the leaders of the country all agreed to appoint this person who was originally this poor man to make him the new king. So sure enough, all the ministers got together, they all agreed to appoint him as king, and he was appointed. And he waged battles and was successful in conquered countries, and just one success after another, to the point where all the other countries, surrounding countries, all got together and made a decision that they don't want to engage him in any battle, they're prepared to submit to his authority. Because they saw how successful he was being. And they saw that all the beauty of the world and all the luck of the world was in his hands. Therefore, the surrounding kings got together and they made an agreement that they would accept him as emperor, in a sense, over all of them. And they gave him a document that was written in letters of gold acknowledging his authority. Now just to pause here for a moment, it's interesting that what initiated this story is that there was somebody who had met Rabbi Nachman and was talking to him and mentioned something about writing in gold. And upon hearing that, Rabbi Nachman said to him, writing in gold, there's a very, very interesting story regarding that. And it was at that point that he started to relate this long, complex, deep story that we're in the middle of discussing right now. Now, this emperor, who a long, long time ago was a pauper, at this point, because of his success and good fortune and wealth and honor, he refused to have his daughter be matched with a simple, lowly businessman. He felt that this was completely improper. However, his wife, the emperor's wife, she wouldn't budge. She wouldn't hear of it. She said, "What do you mean? This was an agreement." And the emperor realized that it's impossible for him to go ahead with any other match unless he first gets this Berger's son out of the way. Especially since his wife is so much pressing so much for this. Therefore, the emperor started making all kinds of plans of how to undermine the Berger. First, he devised different ways to cause him losses, financial losses, and then he used all kinds of tricks, obviously disguising him that it wasn't, no one could detect that it was coming from the emperor, to cause major losses to this Berger. And we know that an emperor certainly has the power to do this. He's got so much control and power and so many people under his authority. So sure enough, he kept causing the burger loss after loss, to the point where the burger lost just about everything he had and became a complete pauper. Despite this, the wife of the emperor still had the greatest respect and affection for him. Now, the emperor realized that as long as this young man is alive, the son of this burger, there's nothing he can do. There's no way that the emperor's wife is going to accept her daughter getting engaged or married to anyone else. So he realized he's got to eliminate him completely. So sure enough, he devised a plan, and he had different accusations made against the son of this burger, and the king, the emperor, convened a court, and the judges were told, you know, were made aware of exactly what the emperor wants the verdict to be in this case, and sure enough, they passed judgment that the son of this burger should be placed in a sack and thrown into the sea. The emperor's wife was horrified about this. She felt terrible. However, even an emperor's wife is helpless against the emperor. So what did she do? She went to the executioners, those who were designated to carry out this judgment, to throw the son of this burger into the sea. And she went to them, and she actually fell before their feet. And she pleaded with them, begging them on her behalf not to kill him, to let him go. Because why does he deserve to die? What did he do? And she pleaded with them for them to take someone else, take some other criminal who actually deserves, who's on death row, who deserves death, and throw him into the sea in the sack, and to let this young man, the son of the burger, go. Sure enough, they saw her sincerity, and they agreed. And they swore that they're going to let him go. They're going to let the son of the burger go. And sure enough, they did exactly as she said. They took a different person, a criminal who was on death row, and they threw him into the sea, and the son of the burger, they let go. And they said to him, "Go! Go!" And he left. Now, the son of this burger was an intelligent person, and he realized that he had to leave. Now, before this last incident took place, the wife of the emperor went and summoned her daughter and told her, "Listen to me, my daughter. I want you to know that the son of the burger, he is your true soulmate." And her mother went ahead and told her the whole story of what had happened, how this young man's father risked his life to save her, and how he had spent all of that time with her alone, and he never touched her, and he literally endangered his life, and he was with me in 7 different places. And in each one of them, I swore to Hashem that any goodness that would be given to me, I would not withhold from him. And I took those 7 locations as my witness. Therefore, my daughter, I'm telling you, you are my goodness. You are my success. You are my good fortune. And therefore, you definitely belong to him. You belong to the son of the burger. You belong to the burger, and his son is your true mate. And your father, unfortunately, because of his arrogance, he wants to kill him. He wants to murder the son of the burger without any justification. And I've tried to do everything I could to save him. And sure enough, I succeeded in being able to have him escape the death sentence. Therefore, I want you to know that he is your true chosen, your true mate. And don't accept any other mate other than him. Sure enough, her mother's sincere words went into her heart, and she accepted them because she also, the daughter of this emperor, was also a tremendous Yirat Shamayim. She had tremendous respect and love for Hashem. And she told her mother, I will definitely fulfill your wishes. And she left. And she sent a letter to the son of the burgher while he was in prison, that she is with him and that he is her true mate. And together with the letter, she sent a map, whereby in this map, she drew the 7 different locations that her mother had been with this boy's father, with the burgher. And she warned him very, very strictly to watch over this letter and this map, not to lose it. And she signed her name on bottom. And it was only after this that the executioners took a substitute in place of the son of the burgher, and they let him go. And he left, and he traveled until he came to the sea, and he got onto a ship, and the ship that he was on started crossing the sea. Suddenly a major storm broke out and carried the ship to a certain island, where there was a tremendous wilderness. And as a result of the storm, something like a tornado, the ship ended up being broken to pieces. However, the people that were on the ship were saved. And they all went up on dry land, and they saw this wilderness. And each one of them started traveling, going their own way, to look for food. Because this was a place where ships did not usually come to at all. It was a wilderness. And therefore, they didn't have any hope that of waiting by the shore till another ship is going to come along and would return them to their original destination. So sure enough, they went around this wilderness looking for food, spread out. And this young man, the son of the burgher, is also walking and traveling till he moved far away from the shore. And when he decided he wanted to go back, he couldn't. Because as much as he kept trying to find his way back, he just kept going further and further away to the point where he saw it's hopeless. So he decided to forget about going back and just to continue moving along. He had a bow and arrow with him that he used to protect himself against the wild animals. And along the way, he would find things to eat. And he walked and walked until eventually he got out of this wilderness. And he came to a place which looked more like a settled area. And there was water there, and there were fruit trees, and he would eat the fruit that grew on the trees and drink from the water. And he started thinking, you know, maybe I'm just going to spend the rest of my life here. Because, for starters, it doesn't look too easy to get back to civilization, and who knows if I'll ever find a place as beautiful as this. If I leave this place. So therefore, he decided to stay there and possibly live the rest of his life there. Since he's having such a pleasant time. He's got fruit, he's got water. Once in a while, he would go with his bow and arrow and he would shoot a rabbit or a deer, and he had meat to eat. And he would also catch fish, because there were beautiful fish there in the water. And it looked like a great idea to him to remain here for the rest of his life. One of the questions that I've heard asked regarding this son of the burgher hunting, how Rabbi Nachman mentions that he would catch a rabbit or a deer, and he had meat to eat. We know that a rabbit is not a kosher animal. We're going to see later on in the story that the son of the burgher made something like a guitar for himself, and he made strings for it from the hide of the rabbit. So that one of the answers that I've heard to this question is that when Rabbi Nachman uses the term meat to eat, that refers to the deer. The deer's meat he was able to eat, whereas the rabbit, he used its hide, you know, for making the strings of the musical instrument. We're going to pause the story at this point. If there are any specific questions, please submit them through text and we'll try to respond. Otherwise, this story is very deep, and we're going to try to offer some comments, some explanations that are found among the commentaries on this book. The commentaries tell us that this story refers to the birth of Moshiach and the final redemption of the Jewish people. And there are all kinds of deep hints in this story, but just some of the points that we see along the way. We know that even when a person experiences suffering or difficulty, if a person believes that it's from Hashem, very often they get to see the hand of Hashem in what's happening to them. Just to give one micro example, the case of the son of the burgher here, whom the emperor wanted him dead, and the emperor went through so much to try to do this, and the court passed judgment on him, and the death penalty was decreed, and they could just as easily have said to throw him into the sea. If they would have said, throw him into the sea, then there'd be no way to substitute anybody else in his place. The fact that the decree was for him to be put into a sack and thrown into the sea, that minor little detail was enough to make it possible for everything to happen in a legitimate way. A criminal, a murderer, or someone else who deserved to be put to death, who was on death row, was able to be substituted for him, and a sack thrown into the sea, and whoever wasn't supposed to know would have no way of knowing that the person that they intended to have thrown into the sea never got there. We're told that the Torah possesses in it all the different wisdoms, all the seven outstanding wisdoms of the world, and if a person were able to study the Torah properly, in its full depth, from beginning to end, the person would probably not need to study any other wisdom, but rather they'd be able to find everything they needed to know about everything, in the Torah itself. One of the interpretations, one of the commentaries points out that the burgher refers to the tzaddik. We know that the forefathers of the Jewish people, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are referred to as Horim, as the mountains of the Jewish people. That's one interpretation. We look forward to continuing next week at the same time. Bezrat Hashem.